Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It is what it is. You know, you can't control outcomes. You know, all you can control is, you know, the process and what you're doing in the game to give your team the best chance. So, you know, for me, it's just, you know, it's a loss, but, you know, the series is not over. So as much as, you know, that sucks, losing in double overtime, you know, it's just click the repeat button and, you know, the outcome might change. I think it's we're two really good teams. The games are really close. So, you know, anything can happen.
That was Devon Levi and the Rochester Americans lost in double OT in Syracuse. That was game three of their best of five series. Now the Syracuse Crunch are up 2-1, and game four will be tomorrow night, Saturday night in Syracuse, 7 p.m. For those that want to make the trip down to Syracuse and go see some really good hockey, because it was some really good hockey and it was a great performance by Devon Levi last night. By the way, welcome into Sabres Live. I'm Marty Baron. Duffer is off this week. On the show today, busy show. We'll talk about that Amherst game last night. Steve Kuliest, host of the Power Play on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, will join me at 12:10 to talk about Boston, Toronto last night. The Leafs are still alive and they forced a game seven. That will also be on Saturday night. Two games in the NHL tonight. And at the bottom of the hour, our Friday analyst and good friend Shayna Goldman is going to join us. And we may talk about the NHL as well. They announced the Jack Adams candidates, the three candidates for the Jack Adams Trophy this year. The Norris, the Calder, and the Vezina have also been announced this week. So we can talk about that as well. But as I mentioned, Rochester Americans, we had Coach Seth Appert on the show yesterday talking about how this series is really tight. You know, game two was a tight one in OT in Rochester after the Amherst had taken a 1-0 lead in the series. And, you know, the Rochester Americans saw game two slip away on an icing that shouldn't have been called icing. And on the very next faceoff in the Amherst zone, a point shot was deflected through a screen and the Crunch tied it up at one. Last night, it was tight when you look at the score, because it was a 2-1 Syracuse Crunch win in double OT. But when you look at the shots on net in the game, it wasn't as close. 62-33 were the shots on goal for the Syracuse Crunch. When you look at every single period where the shots were, Devon Levi faced over 20 shots in the first period, 21 to be exact. He made 21 saves. In the first OT, the shots were 19-7 for the Syracuse Crunch. But to be honest with you, in the first OT, the Amherst had two glorious chances to be able to go and close out the game. It didn't happen. And they saw Morella on the breakaway and double OT score. But man, let's go back at the start of the game. Like I said, 21-8, the shots were for Syracuse in the first period. Devin Levi was really good early. Alex Barry-Boulet scored in the second, a nice goal backdoor. And then Isaac Rosanne, on a breakaway with less than a minute left in the second period, saw, actually, it wasn't less than a minute left. It was late in the second. But anyway, saw himself getting hooked. And yeah, it was less than a minute left. I'm looking at the scoreboard right now, 19:05. So yeah, he saw himself getting hooked and was awarded a penalty shot. So Rosanne came down the right side as a lefty shot, moved to the middle a little bit, and then just a nice shot over the glove of the Syracuse Crunch goaltender, and the game was tied up right there. They actually ended up getting a chance in OT after Mason Yops got a delay of game puck over glass penalty. That was in the first OT. And the Amherst ended up on a 2-on-0 with Isaac Rosanne and Mason Yops getting out of the box. You know, the timing. Know when the penalty is about to expire. And I love that the Rochester Americans knew when the penalty was about to expire. So they end up on a 2-on-0. And Yops has the puck on the right side, gives it to Rosanne, gets it back, not to be able to score. The goaltender read it really nicely. Tyler Kosak had a chance in OT before that as well. So yeah, the Rochester Americans had a couple of really good looks in the first overtime. The second overtime didn't really show much. Halfway into that first OT, Valtteri Merella was able to get a breakaway. He got behind everybody. I don't really know how he got that free and behind everybody. He basically had a half-ice breakaway, came in with a lot of speed. Devin Levi was really high, trying to challenge him, and Morella went around to the right side as a right-handed shot, opened up the angle, and was able to put that in the back of the net. Like I said, Crunch are up 2-1 in a best-of-five series. Game 4 is in Syracuse, Saturday night, 7 p.m., We hope to see a lot of you Rochester Americans, Buffalo Sabres fans there. Help the Amherst bring it back home for Game 5, which wouldn't be until next Friday. So they play Saturday, and then it would be a week off before they would play Game 5 if the Rochester Americans are able to get it there. You know, Levi with 60 saves. Before we came onto the show, producer Jeff was like, Marty, do you remember any of your big games where, you know, you made a lot of saves? And I'm like, no, I really don't. I remember the results, right? You win, you lose. I remember other goaltenders making a lot of saves, like the Dominic Hasek, you know, Sabres Devils playoff game when the shots were 70 to 50, Hasek winning it 1-0, making 70 saves. I remember we re-showed that one during the pandemic on MSG. We couldn't even show the first three periods because it was too long of a game. We only showed overtime 1, 2, 3 and the fourth overtime when Dave Hannon scored. And then the great late Rick Jenneret had the wonderful call of, we're going back. And this series is going back where Jimmy Hoffa is. Basically, they were going back to New Jersey and the Meadowlands for game 7, which the Sabres ultimately lost. But yeah, a lot of saves for Devin Levi. He looked fresh after the game talking to the media. And listen, got to give it to the Rochester Americans PR. Look, Devin Levi, disappointing loss, right? 2-1 in double OT, made 60 saves on 62 shots, and he's out there answering questions. It made me kind of think of other situations in the NHL where you don't always get the players you want. And one of those situations where the Winnipeg Jets this year, Connor Hellebuyck got pulled in game 4 and was not made available to the media after the game. This is a guy that possibly will win the Vezina Trophy, one of the best goaltender in the National Hockey League. One of the reason why the Winnipeg Jets had a great season and then, you know, kind of didn't really have it in the playoffs this year. And he gets pulled in game 4 and the media is like, we want to talk to Connor Hellebuyck. And the PR for the Winnipeg Jets said, he's not going to be available post game. So thank you, Rochester PR, for making Devin Levi available. And thank you, Devin, for being honest and answering the questions and saying, hey, yeah, it sucks. You don't want to lose, but it's about the process. His process was really good in the game. He has made some really, really big saves throughout the game. Glorious chances, scramble chances in front of the net. And in the end, well, the result wasn't there. But that same process is going to allow the Rochester Americans to hopefully win game four on Saturday night and then take it home for game seven next week. Like I said, Steve Koulias of the Power Play on XM Sirius XM NHL Network Radio is going to join us here in a little bit. Boston, Toronto last night was a intense game for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I got to tell you, going in Toronto over my career was never, this is going to be fun. Like going to MSG was fun. Going to Philadelphia was fun. Going to Chicago was fun. The crowd was fun. Going to Toronto, the crowd is sleeping, right? It's all the corporate dollars. And the start of the game and the start of every period, the fans are actually in their suites. Like they have bunker suites underneath the stands. They're having sushi, drinking their expensive wine. And you start the period and there's nobody in the lower bowl. Everybody's still having food, realizing, oh, the game's about to start. I better get to my seat. And then they get to their seat. There's 5-6 minutes already played in the period. And it doesn't have that atmosphere. And it's been criticized, right? But what are you going to do? That's the way Toronto operates. I also say game presentation in Toronto is not that great, but that's just the way it is. Well, yesterday, the fans in Toronto responded. They were a little bit more into the game. They were in their seats when it needed to be in their seats. And when Willie Nylander scored late, in the second period, they responded and then they were loud for the whole third period. And Nylander gets a second goal late on a breakaway on Jeremy Swayman. And the game was basically 2-0. Boston got a freebie at the end there with 0.2 seconds left to make it 2-1. It was a 2-0 game. And the Boston Bruins are in trouble. And yeah, I want to talk to Steve Koulias about what he sees because he watches hockey, not on just one screen. He has like multiple screens. He looks at all the angles. But the Boston Bruins did not have a 5-on-5 shot in the first period. They actually only had one shot in the first period. And that's coming off a game where they only had two shots in the first period against Toronto in game five. So Jim Montgomery pointing the finger at David Pastrnak after the game, basically saying, well, you know what? The Stars have to respond. Brad Marchand responded early in the series. He did his job. And I look at Pastrnak hasn't been good enough. It hasn't been good enough. And he was not good in game five and was not good in game six either. And now Boston goes home for game seven, something that they failed to do last year against the Florida Panthers when they were up 3-1 and got back to a game seven game at home after winning the President's Trophy. Linus Ullmark didn't play game seven. They put Jeremy Swayman. It was crazy. The Florida Panthers ended up winning. We'll see if tomorrow night the Toronto Maple Leafs will do the same or if Boston is going to be able to move on and play the Florida Panthers in the next round. Like I said, we are going to have Steve Koulias come in on the show in just a minute here. Let's remind fans that the Amerks are playing tomorrow night in Syracuse, 7 p.m. Against the Syracuse Crunch. The Crunch leads the series 2-1 right now. And if there is a game five, if the Amerks are able to get to a game five, it will be next Friday, May the 10th at 7 o'clock in Rochester at the Blue Cross Arena. So that's the schedule for the Rochester Americans. And as advertised and as promised, here's our friend, Steve Koulias, host of the Power Play on XM, Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Kools and I have worked a long time ago at TSN. Actually, Kools, you worked with two of my former teammates at TSN before me. Matt Barnaby was on the show, That's Hockey Tonight with you. Michael Pekka was on the show with you as well. So thank you for joining in today. And how was your night last night watching the Bruins beat the Leafs in the cool cave in the hockey basement?
I can't believe there's a game seven. I can't believe we were doing an autopsy on the body and then the eyes opened. You know what I mean? First of all, hello, Western New York. January 27, 2010, one of the greatest days of my life. I got my Tim Hortons right here. The hockey cools came. It was a great – people don't know when to leave. Sometimes it's like, hello, I got a show tomorrow. Hello. But anyway, I can't wait for you to come down there, Marty. We're connected, brothers from another mother. And I love talking hockey with you. And I say this to the people in Buffalo. I love this guy. He is one of the very – best in the bit, not among, I mean, the very elite of the elite. So there you go.
Cools, I thank you. But you mentioned January 27, 2010. as the greatest day of your life. A lot of people in Buffalo wouldn't know, well, why was that? Can you elaborate a little bit on what happened that day and why that was such a great day for you?
Well, it was the time when RJ, God love him, God bless his soul, he was taking days off and, you know, was winding down, you know, 14 years ago. And I guess it was Dave Quinn, right, was the president of the Sabres at
Larry
the time.
Quinn was the president of the Sabres at
yes,
the time.
Yes, yes.
Larry
and, Quinn. He was connected to Matthew Barnaby, who I think tomorrow is his birthday. Why do we remember, like, May 4th? I think Matthew's birthday's tomorrow, May 4th, 73. Why do we stupidly remember these things? Anyway, Matthew talked to Mr. Quinn. They were kind of, you know, going through some people. Do you want to do it? Have you done it? I saw, you know, Oshawa Generals, AHL, all that kind of stuff. So I went to bed in Niagara Falls, got across the border, had my passport, signed off, came to the rink. And Rob Ray says to me, do you know what you're doing? And right away I went, oh my God. Oh my God. I thought I should leave. For those old enough, Fred Flintstone and Mr. Slate. I went in the chair. Like, anyway, And honestly, I was very happy with the game. Sabres played great. Ryan Miller.
Because the Devils are sloppy in their own zone.
I can always say I did a game. I can always say at least I've done one, Marty, until the Nordiques return, and I do it all Francais.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. So you called the game play-by-play. Was that with Harry Neal, 2010? Would that have been with Harry Neal?
Yep, and the razor was between the benches.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Well, a thrill of a lifetime. I bet you probably did not sit down once during the game. You're probably standing and jittery and excited about it. So let me take you to now last night. Boston, Toronto. I felt like the crowd in Toronto woke up a little bit, especially when Nylander scored late in the second period. But what do you make of the Boston Bruins, who, again, for a consecutive game, did not show up in the first period? One shot on goal, 0 at 5-on-5 in the first 20 minutes of the game.
I'm shocked, Marty, in Western New York. I'm shocked. Boston's pulling the Leafs. Like, they're flipping it, Jerry.
Yeah,
they're flipping it. So they're flipping the rules. Toronto's become Boston and Boston's become Toronto. And both franchises have so much baggage. Although when the Bruins fans complain about their baggage, Leaf fans say our baggage is down the street, around the corner, and into Lake Ontario. So both teams have baggages, but the Leafs have much bigger baggages, for gosh sakes. That Watson's Punch Imlach, for God's sakes. Punch, remember him in Buffalo? French Connection, love you. Anyway, so I'm shocked the Bruins are playing scared, playing nervous, playing like rookies instead of veterans. And then after the game, Jim Montgomery calls out 88, not the blue and white one, his own 88. I don't know what's going to happen in game 7. I'm shocked that we're here. And Marty, your question was about Boston. Yeah, I can't believe their terrible starts the last two games.
Okay. Joseph Woll came in and basically saved the Toronto Maple Leafs season. I thought it was just a bluff. Like, let's put Joseph Woll in and, you know, token appreciation, token gesture, and trying to change things up. He was good in game 1. He was good in game 2. Only saw 23 shots, though, but really should have had a shutout, if not for 0.2 seconds at the end of the game. Now, Jeremy Swayman played in 5 of the 6 games. I expect Jeremy Swayman to go in, but if the Bruins lose in 7 games to the Toronto Maple Leafs, is this a firing offense to have played Linus Ullmark in game 2, the one that gave the Leafs a 1-1 tie in the series? Like, I was on with you. I said, I don't understand how they're going to play Linus Ullmark after winning game 1. And now we've got a plan. We're rotating goaltenders. Like, now it's costing you. Now you're in game 7. And that game 2 is costing you because you picked the wrong goalie. Wasn't Ullmark's fault, but you picked the wrong goalie in that game. You think Don Sweeney, Cam Neely are looking at Jim Montgomery and saying, you made the wrong decision, man, and that may cost you?
The reason I'll say no is because I think Jim Montgomery, with those two guys that you mentioned, wouldn't have made that decision by himself without them supporting him.
Oh, yeah.
So I believe it was an organizational decision, and they would not have allowed it, Cam Neely and Sweeney, if they didn't believe in it. And because it went win-loss and then back to Swayman-win, and they've run with Swayman, they can argue, we've gone with two goalies for 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's the plan. So I think he would not get fired because of that, Marty. I think it's a great topic. If it was you, you said it before. Play Swayman. He's their Patrick Waugh. Play him. If you trade Allmark or he's the backup, use that money elsewhere. But for now, short term, I don't think it's a fireable offense. But in hindsight, Marty, you were right and the Bruins were wrong.
Okay. How about the fact that last year the Bruins were up 3-1 on the Florida Panthers and lost in game 7 OT, right? Marchand had the breakaway. The Bruins were up by a goal late in the game. Florida pulls their goalie. They score. But I saw a little nugget on the NHL media site just 2 or 3 days ago that in the last 4 playoff years, a team has come back from being down 3-1. So last year it was Florida beating Boston in the first round. 2 years ago was the New York Rangers beating Pittsburgh. But remember Pittsburgh, they were having Louis Domingue playing goal, right? The spicy pork and broccoli. And the Rangers were down 3-1. They come back. Trouba, I think that was Trouba that had hit Crosby in that series as well. That was, you know, like Crosby, not 100%, not there. Montreal, 2 years ago in what was the North Division, came back against Toronto. They were down 3-1. Corey Perry's knee on John Tavares, accidental, but it makes the Canadiens come back. And then 4 years ago, it was San Jose coming back against the Vegas Golden Knights. Cody Eakin getting the 5-minute major against Joe Pavelski, which was not a 5-minute major. And then San Jose comes back, scores, win it in OT, right? Are we going to see either Toronto win game 7, come back again from a 3-1 deficit? Or as we look at to the game tonight, it's still just game 6, but Nashville potentially coming back and doing the same thing, being down 3-1 to Vancouver and winning. Is one of those two teams coming back to win it in 7?
I'm going to say no, although I think Nashville will force a game 7. I think the Canucks are teetering for different reasons. They don't get enough shots on goal and they're going with their third goalie, Marty. So,
yeah,
you know, are they going to go to their second goalie? And remember, when you're playing the 3-1 comeback odds, even though we've had 3 straight years of it, and it was an epidemic starting in the Patrick division in the 80s. Like, yeah, we never had them, basically. And I don't count 3-0. Like 3-0 to 3-1, that doesn't count. That's not a true 3-1. 3-0 Islanders, 3-0 Leafs in 42, Islanders in 75, that doesn't count. It's the true 3-1 where you win 1, lose 2, lose again, oh my God, and then you come all the way back and it started with the Capitals and the Penguins and all those teams. It's still 9%, Marty. It's still 9%, and you still have, in theory, the better team, the better goalie, and the math on their side. If the Preds were to come back and do it and the Leafs were to come back and do it, we'll talk about this first round, how it ended so fantastically after it started like hamburger, it might have ended like steak. Do I really believe it'll happen? No. Would it be great if one of the teams did do it? Yes. I still think the Leafs have bigger demons in their closet, Monsters, Inc., Sully, than the Bruins. So the Bruins will win 4-1, empty net goal, Saturday night.
I was a Mike Wazowski fan, not so much of, I like Sully, he was great too, but Mike Wazowski was awesome in Monsters, Inc. Okay, so you basically said the Nashville Predators are going to win tonight in Nashville, game 6 against the Vancouver Canucks. At 10 p.m. on TNT, the Stars are visiting the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas lost both games at home. They were up 2-0 to Dallas, lost both games at home, then lost game 5 in Dallas. Are we going to see this one flip, or is Dallas now in control and bye-bye Vegas? It's not really working offensively, even though you've got, you know, all that salary cap going.
I'm taking Dallas to sweep. After losing the first 2 games at home, they'll be like the 84 Islanders, lose the first 2 to the Habs. Who cares? Came back and sweep, got to the cup final before losing to the Oilers and breaking their 19th consecutive playoff series streak. So to me, Dallas is that good. Jake Oettinger, I think, now is on. They're deep. They can play Pavelski up, Wyatt Johnston up. Logan Stankoven's found money. The only way he'll be in the AHL again is if he buys a ticket. He's done. AHL, see you later. And it was great how they drafted, developed him, used him with the Memorial Cup in the Western League. He is a player. That assist the other day to Dodonov was a beauty. Vegas doesn't know who to play in net. Vegas is slow.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And they got nothing else after Eichel and Marchessault. They don't. This season is not going according to Hoyle. I think Dallas will do it tonight, maybe in overtime, and the Stars are legitimate Stanley Cup contenders.
Now, you talk about they don't have much going on offensively. Darren Dreger joined our show yesterday, and he does every Thursday. Shayna Goldman will join our show later, the bottom of the hour, as she does every Friday. And we've been talking about Steven Stamkos, Patrick Kane, Tao Toffoli, like players that are UFA this summer that will could move, and what would be a fit for the Buffalo Sabres. When I brought Steven Stamkos to Darren Dreger, he mentioned the Vegas Golden Knights because they're in on everything, right? Like if the Tampa Bay Lightning don't re-sign Steven Stamkos, maybe Stammer is saying, well, why not go to Vegas for 2-3 years at the end of my career and enjoy it, right? Do you think that Stamkos is staying in Tampa? Do you think that's a done deal that we're speculating, but it's all about nothing right now?
The only way he leaves is if he's so insulted, like Alex Pietrangelo is a buddy from his minor hockey days, that he goes. I think Steve will capitulate more than Tampa Bay will, and he'll stay. You and I both agreed, give him 6.66 over 3 years. The sign of the beast, done. Stays. But if they get cute, and teams have got cute before, what if Sam Reinhart doesn't stay? And Steve says, I'm going to have to leave the state. I'm going to stick it to you, Jerry. I'm going to stick it to you, and I'm going to go to Florida and try it down there for 2 more years. Do I really believe he'll leave? No. Marty, he'll sign 3, maybe 4, where he takes a little less so he knows that's it and stays in Tampa Bay.
Wow, that battle of the Sunshine State Showdown, as you dubbed it. Not the Battle of Florida, not the Battle of Sunshine. The Sunshine State Showdown can get even warmer and hotter if Steven Stamkos ended up in Florida. They still have to play, though. They're through to the first round. And quickly, last, we got a minute or two here. The Winnipeg Jets. Connor Hellebuck said after, you know, they lost, he said, that was the best hockey I've played in my career. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Like, that's not the best hockey in your career. You gave up 5.5. I'm like, if you played the Oilers in the 80s and you give up 5 a game, maybe you could say you played the best hockey of your career. You didn't give up 8 a game. But this is not the Oilers and Gretzky and Curry and Mess. This is Colorado Avalanche, who were good, but Connor Hellebuyck gave up 5.5. Rick Bowness, I mean, he didn't seem to have any answers. Where are the Jets going now? And we also saw attendance issues in Winnipeg. Like, I feel like this is bigger than just losing in 5 to Colorado.
Marty, it was a choke. It was a joke and a choke. If they lost to Colorado in 7, there's no shame in losing to Colorado. But like this, what was Hellebuyck? 5.23, 870? It's not good enough. And now gone to Foley, gone Sean Monahan. Perfetti will go in. It's just a Debbie Downer. They're still good. There's a lot to work with there. But 2 years in a row where they limp out. Yeah. How many more years of this was supposed to be the 2024 Jets. They do the 1985 Jets. It's the same thing. It's where's the queen? That's all that was missing. The picture of the queen. That's all I got to say. I'm pissed off at the Jets. Dale, we miss you. I'm pissed off at the Jets.
Yeah, the picture of the queen in the old building was awesome. I got to go to Winnipeg in 1996 when I was 18 years old and I played a few games. That was my last stop. I was a healthy scratch because Hasek came back that night, and the very next day I was on a plane back to Quebec City to resume my junior career. But I did get to see the Queen and that beautiful picture that was at the top of the Winnipeg Arena back in the days. Cools, it was awesome to have you on the show, man. For those that love Hockey Talk, from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday on SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio, the Power Play, Cools and his buddies are on. I'm on, you know, usually once a week or whatnot, but Andrew Raycroft, Anthony Stewart, Dennis Bernstein. I mean, I miss some of them, but Carter Hutton has been on with you as well, former Sabres as well, another goalie. You love your goalies. So tune on to your show, The Power Play. It's a great 3-hour. All the executives, everybody around the league, listen to your show, Cools. So yeah, there's a lot going on there. Thanks a lot. And I'll be on your show next week and we'll have you on again for sure, man. You're the
perfect
best.
Thanks for having me. I missed the orange seats. $9. Remember the steep orange seats?
Yeah.
The odd. And Jason Pominville, how do you do? He scored the shootout winner. Sabres win 2-1. Good night, Western New York.
There's the call right there from January 27, 2010. He's Steve Koulias. I'm Marty Biron. We got to take a break here on Sabres Live. He left. He left the building already. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic is back with us after the break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to Sabres Live here on WGR 550 and MSG. Shayna Goldman of The Athletic is joining us. Shayna, I got to tell you, Steve Koulias brought the energy, brought the heat. I don't know that we can keep that level of intensity for a full hour. I sure will try, but, you know, it's always nice to have you. How are you doing? How was your week of tennis watching, hockey watching and everything? I mean, you must have not left the couch and the TV must be on 24/7.
The TV's on 24/7 and thankfully we have a TV outside so I can get like 1 ounce of sunlight, because I think I don't need to go full hermit just yet between like morning tennis and night hockey, and then you try to find an hour in between. But no, I mean, it's good, right? This is a fun time of year.
Your boy Medvedev hurt himself yesterday.
He just doesn't want to play on clay.
He doesn't want to, but now he's got Rome and the French Open. Like, come on, you gotta show up. You know, you're one of the best. But I thought of you yesterday when, after the first set, he said, I'm done. And then the fans in Madrid start whistling, like almost like booing him. I'm like, the guy can't move. Why are you whistling him? But anyway, so it's a good thing that it's in the morning. It's not too early, though. You can watch tennis in the morning, recap the hockey from the night before, and then go on to do your things. So it's a good schedule. Okay, let's talk about hockey, because this morning, the Jack Adams nominees were announced. So they are Andrew Brunette of the Nashville Predators, Rick Tocchet of the Vancouver Canucks, and Rick Bowness of the Winnipeg Jets. I thought that was very, very odd and interesting. No Spencer Carberry. The fact that Capitals made the playoffs, I thought he'd be in the top three. What do you make of those three candidates for the Jack Adams Trophy?
I think that we need to rethink every award. And we need to take, you can't look at the NHL standings if you want to vote on an award. That's going to be the key to it. I get Tocchet, right? He feels like a slam dunk since day one because the Canucks had such a good season. And someone like Brunette, I get it too. He's had a good impact and he's done more with less. But I look at Rick Bowness and I'm like, what are we watching the same Jets? Because they don't look that much. They look better than last year, but they don't look to me like that same bona fide contender. I've had my doubts about the Jets all year. I'm not just saying this because they're eliminated, but I just feel like there are better options. Like, I would have put Tortorella there. Carberry's a good one. Or Paul Maurice over a Rick Bowness team that I don't think has enough dimension, enough versatility, enough innovation to them, because that's just not him.
I totally agree with you. Even a guy like Peter Laviolette and the New York Rangers and what they were able to, I get he's got a great team in front of him, but he also didn't have Shesterkin for half the year because he was not playing well. Jonathan Quick was the guy. And then you have to be a great coach to say, you know what? I'm not going to play my top guy as much, and I'm going to rely on my backup, which is getting me a result. I think Peter Laviolette could have been there. You mentioned Paul Maurice. I think Florida now, it's been 2 years of Paul Maurice like being really, really good, not just structure and systems, but adjustments in games. And they dealt with some, you know, injuries and Matthew Tkachuk not performing as much early on. So so you get to vote on the Jack Adams, right?
No, that's the one of the few I don't get.
That's
to
the
vote.
Broadcaster's one. Yeah. Okay. So we
it would look better if I voted on it.
Yeah, but I'm sure it would have. Now you're blaming all the broadcasters. I like that. But okay, so who would have been your top candidate? If you had to pick a winner for the Jack Adams, who would it have been?
Oh, I think I'm gonna go. I do like Brunette a lot, but I'm going to go John Tortorella. You know what? No one, to me, of like the newer coaches, put an identity on his team as quickly as Tortorella did. None of us expected the Flyers to be that good. And they weren't just carried by goaltending. Yeah. I feel like they quickly took on the John Tortorella, Bradshaw identity of being this disruptive defensive team. They were much better offensively than I think any of us expected. They added like an element of a rush game that you don't always see from a Tortorella team. To me, he really put this team in a position to succeed and help get them to this point. And I get it at the end of the year, you know, he was taking it on himself a lot, right? He was saying it's his fault they weren't ready to play at this time. I don't fully buy that, but I get him taking the heat for it. But like he helped his team overperform more than most.
He was putting a protective shield over his team, over his players, and saying, I'll take the blame. I can handle it. Don't go, you know, and that's the way it is. But it would have been interesting if he would have been nominated, because a team that doesn't make the playoffs usually doesn't get that recognition as coach of the year. But okay, Vezina Trophy, another award that you have said a long time, GMs don't know about good goaltending, and they get to vote on the Vezina Trophy as the best goaltender in the league. Connor Hellebuck, Sergei Bobrovsky, Thatcher Demko. I don't think they missed on those three, but what do you think of the finalists for the Vezina Trophy?
Yeah, I'm going to vote that all goalie trophies should be voted on by goalies, if you're in the goalie union. Like, why not, right? Because general managers don't know goaltending. None of us do, and that's okay, right? Like, we say it all the time.
I would think, Shayna, though, that, like, GMs go to their goalie coach and says, give me a list of three. Like, because they don't vote themselves. They probably go to the goalie. So
I hope.
Let's do the goalie coaches of the NHL vote on the goalie award. Let's do that.
There we go. And you can't, even if it's like you can't pick your own.
Yeah.
You know, just to balance the scales, because then everyone loses a vote that way, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think sometimes we see them just go like, here's goals against average, and we're going to pick 1, 2, 3. I don't have a problem with them per se. Connor Hellebuck's the guy for me. Thatcher Demko's number two. Do I think Bob is the third? Not really. I think his defense was that good. I think he was good. I don't know. I feel like if Markstrom's second half didn't derail the way it did, he would be there. You could make the case, and I'm shocked this is coming out of my mouth, for Jordan Binnington this year. I don't know. And you could even make the case for Igor Shesterkin for how he played in the second half of the year. He was the best goalie from the All-Star break on. I don't know if I would have had him third. I think he's more of like a 4 or 5. But I'm less sold on Bob as the third.
I'll say Jordan Binnington is one that some have mentioned as maybe a snob. Jeremy Swayman probably as well, because of the year that he had. But Boston, they had Linus Ullmark last year. I think you're like, okay, where are we going to go now to the guy that played a little bit more? They got a good team. They play well defensively.
See, if it was okay that Ullmark won last year, and I think that you could have a case that he shouldn't have been up for it versus a Sorokin or a Saros because of the differences in workload, we cannot discount Jeremy Swayman. That's where I give pause to it. Because if everyone said Linus Ullmark was okay to win last year, I think Swayman could have gotten that third place nod.
Great point. The Norris Trophy, Roman Josi, Quinn Hughes, and Cale Makar. Look, it's the three names that are going to come back over and over and over again. And a guy like Rasmus Dahlin has got to find a way to get in the top three, right? Like, he's just on the outside of it. Got to get in that top three and stay there. But do you like the top three? Obviously, now you have a vote for that. And who, according to Shayna Goldman, wins the award?
So my hot take is that Cale Makar is not in the top three this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Cale Makar is an elite, elite, elite defenseman. And this year he was still elite, but he wasn't at the level that I think he normally is at. He had the points, but there was a time he was playing through injury, it seemed like, and then he started to get it back together. And then his game started to sag a little bit more relative to his teammates. The Avalanche allowed more goals against in his minutes. he did not have that same offensive impact at 5-on-5 that he generally does. And he plays most of the time with McKinnon and Ranson, yeah. And so it's even less of an excuse for that. When you have that all-star vote for the top D, I have him at 3. But for the Norris, the best all-around defenseman, I think that there were others that edged him out, like Forsling, Fox, and Morrissey.
Okay.
But the two, it's between Josi and Hughes. The slightest of edge goes to Hughes because he was a little bit better defensively than Josi.
Yeah, the metrics all show that Hughes played a ton and was good in all aspects of the game. Josi got hot offensively, obviously. But yeah, I think I totally agree with your top three right there, especially your top two. And I think that's the reason why maybe, hopefully, next year we can see Rasmus Dahlin get into that top three voting because he brings the offense. But new coach, you know, maybe Lindelof finds a way to really have Dahlin lock it down defensively, which would put him in that conversation, which would be great. Rookie of the Year, the Calder Trophy. We have Connor Bedard, Brock Faber, and Luke Hughes, another Hughes. So the Hughes family represented well. But this one, most people would say Connor Bedard would run away with it. But a lot of hockey experts say not so quick. Where do you fall on the Calder Trophy?
Okay, so I had Luke Hughes 5, not 3. I had Tyson Forrester 3 and then Logan Cooley 4, but I went Bedard and Faber 1 and 2. It's closer than I think we give Faber credit for. And it's hard because this one's so different, right? Like, why don't we see defensemen ever in the Hart Trophy? Because we don't know how to judge forwards against defensemen. We don't know how to judge forwards against goalies. And then sometimes we get blinded by the scoring and that's what we go with. We barely know how to judge defense as it is. So when you have someone like Faber, who's not super high scoring, you're going to have problems with that right there. If Faber's play didn't trail off at the end of the year and he went through a stretch where the Wild started to really fall out of the playoff picture, that his game started to, like, he hit a rookie wall and that's totally fine. I think he could have made a better push for number one. I think that's what separated them, but I went Bedard first. He faced some of the toughest competition in the league and came out with his head above his head above water. He was amazing. I have to give it to him.
So when Tyler Myers won the Calder Trophy with the Buffalo Sabres, that was back in, man, that was his first year. Let me see here. Back in 2009, 2010, he had 48 points in 82 games as a defenseman. I think that's what led the way. Like, oh, look at how many points, right, that Tyler Myers is doing. Defensively, it wasn't great, but he wasn't asked to do anything defensively as well. I think you're right. I think we have a hard time judging how good a rookie defenseman plays defense and is able to bring that to their team, which I think Brock Faber did a fantastic job. And if Connor Bedard hadn't missed, you know, 20 games or 15 games with the jaw, I think, oh, runaway Connor Bedard. But because he missed a little bit, I think it gave everybody a chance to say, oh, Brock Faber is in there. Let's think about him. But I think Bedard wins it anyway. Two games tonight, Shayna. The Dallas Stars found a way to reverse the, you know, the steam that the Vegas Golden Knights had. Do they win in 6? Is Vegas done if Vegas can't find any offense other than Jack Eichel?
No, I think that Vegas is going to force the game 7, but okay. I think the Stars win it in 7. Listen, I picked Dallas to win it all. So I'm sticking my eggs in that basket right now. I like how the Stars have rebounded because I think they were the better team in games 1 and 2, but it was the little things from Vegas. It was the desperation. It was the will over skill, which normally I know I would like shake my head at and be like, listen, how much stock can we put in that? But the way they got their sticks in the way of the star shots and the final moments of the game that they're trying to catch up and score and they're playing 6-on-5. Like, you just saw the difference that the teams needing to turn it on. And the Golden Knights were doing more with less. But I think the fact that we saw players pick up the pace in games 3 and 4, Miro Heiskanen, I think, looked a lot better in game 3. Wyatt Johnson was the all-star everybody, you know, they never knew they needed. And you have Logan Stankoven helping out a lot too, while guys like Jason Robertson, I think, took a little more time to get going. It feels like the Stars are clicking now, but I can see someone like Marchessault stepping up, or someone like Mark Stone, just for the discourse, to force that game 7. But I can see the Stars kind of putting their foot down there and being like, wait, we can't let this get away from us.
Who starts for Vegas, Aiden Hill or Logan Thompson?
I mean, it's really a tough decision because I don't think Aiden Hill was bad last game. But I think I would go Logan Thompson. Like, Logan Thompson was playing out of his mind in game 3. And he was fine in game 4. I don't think the goaltender on Vegas has been, if anything, the goalie that would give me the most worry in this series somehow is Jake Oettinger.
Yeah.
Because when he looks good, he looks fantastic, right? But then you see some goals or some shots that had the shot not missed or a defender not gotten in the way, you're like, I'm not confident he would have made that save, which is not what you want to see, especially like the last month of the season, he got back on track.
Yeah, no, and he made the save, Jake Oettinger made the save on Chandler Stephenson on a breakaway late in the third period to kind of hold on to that one goal lead, and it made the difference. Okay, Artur Shilovs, will he be the Cinderella story until Thatcher Demko maybe return with Vancouver? Are we believing in Shilovs getting the job done and closing that out in six tonight?
I want seven games there.
I feel like you do everywhere.
I know. I don't think anyone's appreciating this series because the third periods are so good that I don't care if the first 40 aren't as exciting. I just feel like it's like the better team can't win a game, but each team has now stolen one on the road. So I'm really curious if the Predators can put their foot down and win one at home. I feel like their back's against the wall. Like I'm very curious if what they can do. I feel like this is the game for Saros to steal. And then game seven, maybe we'll have that goalie duel come down, because it's like every other game, you're not seeing a ton of shots. So you're not seeing both goalies thrive at the same time enough.
Last one, 30 seconds. If your name is Elias or Elias Pettersson and Lindholm in Vancouver, is this a problem for the Vancouver Canucks? Like those two have not showed up in the series so far.
I'm okay with Lindholm. Pettersson, yeah. I'm more worried about, but I can't help shake. He can't be healthy. I just can't think he's healthy right now. Okay. He just looks hesitant to shoot and his shots don't look as good right now.
Okay. Well, we'll pay attention to Elias Pettersson and Elias Lindholm and JT Miller, who had a wonderful shirt. He put Artur Shilov's shirt on yesterday. We put that on social media. Shane O'Goldman, you were awesome once again. Enjoy the hockey tonight. Hopefully game seven tomorrow, game seven Sunday. Let's make it happen because you want more of it. Thanks for joining us here on Sabres Live again.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back here. We'll close it out with five teams are out of the playoffs now. Maybe we'll have a little, we will remember you, all those five teams that left. We'll be back on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Only 30 seconds left in the show, so we'll go with five teams are now eliminated. The Washington Capitals had no chance. Sorry. The New York Islanders had no chance. Sorry. The LA Kings, no chance. Tampa, well, you blew it, but Florida was much better. And the Winnipeg Jets, well, I'm not talking about the Jets anymore. I'm not talking about the Jets next year, the year after. I will never talk about the Jets. Kentucky Derby this weekend. Game 7 tomorrow. Game 6 is tonight. We'll talk to you on Monday with Dan Dunleavy here on Sabres Live. Have a great weekend.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.